Hello, welcome back. I just want to say a quick thank you to everybody who listened last week. I am so humbled and grateful for the amount of feedback that I got, positive feedback as far as the choices that I've made for myself over the last year. And I was really nervous to put it out there. I mean, I've recorded the same episode more times than I can count. I probably have six or seven drafts that I've done over the course of the last year and a half about choosing to become sober as someone who's not an alcoholic, and just choosing like an alcohol-free and marijuana-free lifestyle and how it's affected me. But one thing that I realized that I left out when I was doing this episode was the fact that it has like how it's affected my mental health. And I'm not sure how I completely skipped over that because I think that it's a really big part of why sobriety is working so well for me. So I was diagnosed with depression early, like maybe I was 19. I went through a really bad, stupid breakup. And you know what's so funny is that when you're 19 and 20, you think that breakups and relationships kind of dictate your whole life. And to be completely honest with you, I saw this guy on and off for like 4 years, but we were only in a relationship essentially like a little under a year. And then just on and off after that until I met my husband. And I barely remember anything about him. And it's so funny thinking back. I'm 36. I met him when I was 18. We dated when I was like 18 and a half to 19 and a half, maybe. And, we spent a lot of time together at the time. I thought it was so important, this relationship in my life. And it literally, I don't remember much about it at all. And it's not that I'm like blocking it off. I think it's just that with age, the big things stay with you. And I think it was such a little thing in the greater scheme of things. And it's just funny how, I mean, I remember the outline of like, how we met and how we broke up and stuff. But overall, it's funny how something that seemed so important to me at the time wasn't. But the reason I bring that up is because I was like shattered by this breakup when it happened. And I went to the doctor and I was diagnosed with depression, and they put me on a medication, and I never was like super duper consistent with taking it. And I also noticed that they gave me Xanax, and if I ever mixed it with alcohol, I noticed I couldn't get drunk. And so I never wanted to take it because if I was drinking it and also taking my medication, I felt like I just couldn't get drunk. And when you're 19 and you're partying and, having fun, that was like such a priority to me, not my mental health. But looking back, I don't think that I necessarily needed it at the time. I think I just needed some clear goals, and therapy I definitely could have benefited from that. But basically, all that to say that over the course of my 20s, I just was never ever consistent with taking my antidepressant. And so when I got pregnant with my son, I think I had started getting back into taking, I was taking Lexapro maybe the year leading up to getting pregnant with him. And so when I got pregnant, they said, well, we can switch you to Zoloft. It's a medication that's healthy for you to take during pregnancy. And if you've ever taken an antidepressant and been pregnant, I believe it's the third trimester when you're not supposed to take it anymore because it has to do with like the development of their lungs. And so they recommend that you go off of it when you're in your third trimester. And I was really nervous about that. I just, with the hormones of being pregnant, I had had a really nice pregnancy, but I was worried about coming off of the antidepressant and what it would like do to my mental health. I didn't want to get postpartum depression, blah, blah, blah. So I took the Zoloft the first two trimesters. I went off it the third one, got right back on it right after I had my son. But I was drinking and using marijuana, and so it couldn't do its job. And if you know anything about antidepressants, Zoloft and Lexapro are SSRIs, which that means selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. And it means that your body has trouble creating serotonin, which is a neurotransmitter. It's essentially like what makes you feel happy and have good, even emotions. It helps you sleep. It has basically a good influence on your mood. And so if you're taking an SSRI, which we will call an antidepressant for the sake of this podcast, it basically can ease the symptoms of feeling depressed or having lower moods or mood swings. And what I wanted to do was increase the serotonin levels in my brain so that I wouldn't feel so emotional. I used to be a very emotional person back in the day. And it's funny because I could never really get the full effect of my medication because I was always, you know, drinking on them. And like I mentioned in the last episode, I was drinking like maybe 2 days a week. And that was enough to kind of counteract what my SSRI was doing throughout the week leading up to those days. So when you're taking an SSRI, they can act as a sedative or like make you tired or feel more exhausted. But usually what doctors are concerned about is that you'll get like more intense effects from either the alcohol or the antidepressant. And I never really experienced that. Mine was more of, I felt like my antidepressant couldn't fully do its job. And like I mentioned before, being in therapy, I had made strides. I had seriously really changed my life. And I felt like I was really on the cusp of moving to the next level where I was just learning. I knew that I was really close to just being consistently happy all the time and being proud of myself and feeling good enough. And I knew that I would never know what it was like to be me happy if I was mixing things with my SSRI. And so when you consider the fact that I wanted to learn my brain as it was, and I was using an antidepressant to help balance my levels, and it affected my neurotransmitters and cognitive ability, and then I was drinking alcohol, which also affects your brain and impairs your cognitive ability. And then I was using weed, which would also do the same. Weed bonds to your neurotransmitters, I believe. And it affects your brain and how it works. So I'm doing all these positive things, and then I'm doing these negative things to like kind of counteract the positive things that I'm doing. And I just essentially was never going to get to the final result, which is what I'm experiencing now, which is just knowing life in a way where I am experiencing it and enjoying it without depression, without emotional mood swings. Like, I used to live my life in fight or flight. And if you've ever learned about fight or flight, you know that your body can be in fight or flight for years. And I remember a really good example for me is when I would have like 4 sessions in a day, which I often do. Before I stopped drinking and smoking, I would say I had a session at 1 and then another one at 3 or at 2:30. So say that 1 o'clock session ran over, and I never want my clients to feel rushed or like I needed to just get out of there and get to the next session, because that's not how I like to operate my business. But I would lose track of time. I would take photos. I would let them stay way longer than like the time slot they had paid for, because I wanted to make sure that the final product was going to be something I was proud of. So then I would jump in my car and I would rush to the next session. And if you really think about it, if I'm driving 10 minutes down the road, there really is not a huge difference between whether I arrive there in 10 minutes or 12 minutes. I can just send them a message, let them know. And if they're upset, there's not going to be a more upset versus less upset in 2 minutes. Either they're going to be upset or they're not going to care. But to me, my heart rate would race. I would be so stressed out. I would be out of breath getting from place to place. And then when I would get to the new place, I would profusely apologize. I would run around, be so high energy that it was almost like afterwards I would crash. And so my body was just living in a constant state of fight or flight because I was never allowing my body to have a natural occurring reaction of just relaxing. And so it just means that your nervous system is always, always having a response to what you're doing, like a stressful response. It's how our body responds to anger or fear. But for me, I was living in a constant state of fight or flight because I was always worried about getting to the next place, making sure people were happy, making sure what everyone thought about me was positive. I was chronically tired. Like, your girl took more naps than I know what to do with. And it was always as a way to avoid what I had coming later. Like, I would have a session and I would go to sleep and then wake up and work. Like, I never wanted that like downtime because then I would have guilt about what I was or wasn't doing. This year, I can take a nap and not feel bad about it because I know that I live in a way that's responsible, that I'm taking care of the things I need to take care of, or I will if I haven't yet. I don't constantly beat myself up and have guilt. I prepare myself really well ahead of time, especially when it comes to scheduling with clients. I try to have very clear communication with them and let them know that there is a possibility. Like in the morning, I might text them and say, hey, I have a session that ends half an hour before I'm supposed to meet with you, but I just wanted to let you know that there's a chance I might need about a 15-minute buffer. Is that cool with you? And they will every single time write back and say, oh yeah, that's totally cool. Like, I'm sure we could use an extra 15 minutes. Like, we'll meet you 15 minutes later. And that allows me to not spend the whole day worried about where I need to be next and just allows me to be more prepared. I also am very, like I mentioned last time, I don't forget things the way that I used to. I just thought that I was forgetful over here all the time, every single thing that I did, but it's just not me anymore. And I love that about myself. And I do forget, you know, things, but that I think it's just normal now, like how you listening to this might forget, you know, a certain errand that you're supposed to run, or you have a Walmart order you forgot to pick up, things like that, things that are not make or break, life or death, you know. But I was just forgetting the stupidest shit. And that was a result of being in fight or flight. My brain was constantly turning and stressed, which then led to having signs of depression. I could not lose weight no matter how hard I tried. But then again, nothing ever got my full attention. I was never fully present. And so I wasn't able to really focus on the things that I needed to do to take care of me. To me, I thought self-care was like, oh, go get a massage. Oh, go get your nails done. Like, now I understand that self-care looks like slowing down. It looks like not going out if I don't want to. It looks like, honestly, not drinking is like the best, because if somebody wants to go out, I can be like, yeah, I'm going to go out, but I'll probably want to be home by 9. Like, and people get it because I don't want to go out and party all night long. And I also don't have alcohol to like keep me up partying all night, you know? So for me, it's early nights in, it's sleeping in on my days off and not feeling bad about it, but also being present for my son, getting him where he needs to be and when. I have a really great partner who does everything 50-50 with me, sometimes 60-40 on his end. And I love that about him. And just overall, not being in fight or flight and being able to slow down, take my time, not feel like I'm ever rushing has made an insane change on my physical health and my mental health. So now that I'm kind of charting new territory, I don't really have a game plan as far as sobriety goes, but I do have a game plan for my mental health. I don't know that I have a plan to come off of an antidepressant. I don't know at this point in my life if I need my antidepressant. However, I feel like it's very beneficial and I have no like shame in taking it. I think that there's such a huge stigma around taking antidepressants because everybody just assumes, trigger warning, that you want to kill yourself if you're depressed. And that's not the case for me. I've never had those feelings on any kind of like test or, you know, survey that a doctor would give me or with my therapist. I just simply had a hard time getting out of bed every day, doing simple day-to-day tasks, taking care of myself, showering, you know, things that seem like they shouldn't be so hard. They were tough for me. And I am really grateful that those things are no longer a struggle. And I don't have to have guilt surrounding just wanting to relax. And I never try to do too much because I know that in my personal life, if I do too much, then I'm not going to be able to keep up with what I need to in my business. And my business is very important to me and a big part of my identity and who I am and how I am and how I show up as a mom. And I never want to push myself out of my comfort zone when I'm in such a good space currently. So, like I said, I see a therapist. I used to see her every other week. I now see her once a month, once every 4 to 5 weeks. And we do Zoom call, therapist calls. So I see her, she sees me. And we sometimes will do EMDR. There's been a couple times when I was a little stressed out about something. And if you're interested in EMDR, that's something further to look into, but it's just a type of therapy. But I participate in CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy. And it's just for me now, once a month is like a refresher. We can talk about specific instances that are on my mind. We're not really going back and digging into when I was 7 and when I was 21. And I can be like super honest with her and be like, this is what I'm struggling with. Can we please discuss this? And then usually that topic will lead to something deeper and we, you know, get to it. But that's how I plan on like upkeeping, I guess, this mental health situation with sobriety intertwined. But as far as a social life, it definitely was weird at first. In the first few months of not drinking, it's like all I really knew how to do in social situations. I have had a lot of social anxiety. I don't really have that anymore. I used to have it really, really bad. And I never liked to go out. I never liked to run into people. I would, you know, you'd see someone at Target and I would skirt, go the other way, and then eventually just stop going to Target altogether because I didn't want to run into 50 people from high school. But I remember we went to a kid's birthday party. I think I was like 3 or 4 weeks into not drinking or smoking. And typically I would have smoked prior and after the party. And I would have drank, you know, like 4 or 5 White Claws while I was there. But instead I drank 6 bottles of water. And I found that I was just more comfortable like having something in my hand. And it didn't matter if it was a soda or a White Claw or a cocktail or just water. And so I noticed that if I drank water in a social situation, it gave me that same feeling of like fullness and just something to like have in my hands while I was having a conversation. And we ended up staying until the kids' party was completely over. Like we were the last people there. And I had never done that before. I was always like the queen of the Irish exit, like trying to bounce early. And I've noticed that I stay places longer and I have no problem. Like if I'm at a point where I don't really feel like being social, or a lot of the time, I think when you're a parent, you're at events that are about the kids or kid focused events. And I have absolutely no problem just kind of like chilling by myself. I went to my son's class party. And typically I probably would have like smoked beforehand, and he had a class birthday at the trampoline place, and the mom, you know what? I just was not in the mood to be social that day. I did not want to. I had been working a lot and my job is very social. And instead of, you know, kissing ass with all the other parents, I went and I paid $5, did the massage chair for half an hour. I did my Christmas shopping on my phone. I waved, I said hello and made small talk when I would see people. But I straight up sat my ass in a massage chair and chilled for like an hour and a half or something like that while they were doing, you know, jumping around being crazy. And could I have sat and talked with all these moms for 2.5 hours? Yeah, I totally could have. But did I want to? No, I just wanted to be like by myself. And so I just had to get over the fact that I might be the like mom sitting in the corner, not being super friendly. But it's not that I wasn't friendly. It's that I see these people before and after school every single day. Like, they're perfectly nice, kind people, but they all had, you know, multiple kids there. My son is the only kid in the class that's an only child, I think. And I just wanted to be by myself. I like my own company sometimes. And so one thing that I've learned in being sober is that it's okay to not have to make small talk or to walk away from a conversation if you're not super enjoying it, or just to have short conversations. And I noticed when I was drinking, I used to have like such deep, you know what I'm talking about, like, you know, you have heart to hearts with people every fucking chance you get. And I just didn't, I don't do that anymore. You know, we stay fairly surface level. And if something deeper comes up, we can discuss that. But overall, it was just nice to be on my own. And so that's kind of how it's been. With social events, I don't really go to a lot of social events, but I have RSVP'd yes to more events in the past year than I have in the past 10 combined. So if that shows you how much I was avoiding social activities. When I say social anxiety, I mean social anxiety. And I mean, I even had alcohol as a, you know, shield to drink and get a buzz at every event or holiday. And I don't have that anymore. And I'm more comfortable with myself as a person than I ever was before. So I think that that's a major win. And of course, there are fun trips that I mentioned in the last episode, like Disneyland, Vegas, Mexico, all places that are so much fun to sit and have margaritas and cocktails on the beach or, you know, at a nice restaurant. And now I just have like a Diet Coke. It's really like, it doesn't even faze me. I don't even try to do the whole mocktail thing. They're overpriced anyway. And I can chug water if I need to, or I can drink Diet Coke, but either way, it doesn't make a difference to me. I don't feel like I need alcohol to enjoy myself at all. Like when we went out with some friends bowling last weekend, and it was even my idea. I was like, you guys should get the beer tower. And my husband was like, you're suggesting that? I was like, yeah, I don't care. Like, it doesn't bother me. Just have fun however you have fun. And I don't care if people drink in front of me. Like I said, I wasn't an alcoholic, so it's not triggering to me the way I would say if you do know someone in your life who's an alcoholic, I would absolutely recommend trying to get to know them with activities that don't involve drinking. But for me, it's just a personal choice, so it doesn't trigger me. And I mean, if I were to walk out and a bunch of people were smoking weed, that wouldn't trigger me either. I mean, yeah, I was a total pothead, but like, I'm fine. Like, people have smoked in front of me since, and I don't care. It doesn't bother me. And I'm really curious how many people are listening to this just because it's interesting to them versus how many people are actually in the same boat, I guess. Like, are you listening to this because you are worried about your level of drinking or smoking, or are you just listening to this because you like to hear me talk? I don't know. But I think that it's just important, whatever journey that you're on, to remember that this is just the beginning and you can set goals, but like, you don't have to. Like, everybody, you know, beginning of the year has new goals. And for me, I just want to keep doing what I'm doing. And I want to nurture my mental health and foster positive relationships and, you know, share my experiences and support people who might be on this journey, because it's a really fulfilling life that I'm experiencing now. And I'm really grateful for that. And especially if you are a mom, you don't have to have like a problem with drinking or smoking to have experienced some form of baby blues or postpartum depression or just struggling with postpartum mental health in general. I think becoming a parent is difficult. It's a journey in and of itself, whether or not you struggle with any form of mental health struggles. And I think everyone copes with them different. Postpartum emotions are an actual real thing, especially if you had any kind of trauma surrounding your child's birth or health, which I was very lucky that I didn't. However, I was predisposed, because I have depression, to also having postpartum depression. And so mine looked very different. And that's something that we can talk about in another episode if that's something that people are interested in. But there's also the importance in learning how to parent without substances or without struggling with your mental health, like in front of your children and having it affect them. But I think my laziness with smoking was like the biggest reason that I wanted to quit smoking, because it makes you so lazy. I don't care what anybody says, like cannabis. Oh my God. I think that's the first time I've ever said cannabis, cannabis, weed, marijuana, whatever. There is absolutely no reason to be smoking around the clock unless you are masking your feelings about something. And I'm not talking about, you know, you have a few drinks and you hit a joint like once a month or whatever, like not a big deal. But if you're taking edibles every night or you are smoking around the clock, but if it's a regular everyday thing, and this, I say this completely without judgment, I made every single excuse in the book as to why I needed it. I needed it to help me sleep. I needed it to help me relax. But through therapy, I learned that that is a mask for some other things that were going on in my brain that I didn't know how to handle. And as much as I would love to take an edible right before bed every night and just pass out, knowing what I know now about myself and my body, I could never go back to doing that again. And just seeing how it affected me the next morning. And you might not notice it until it's like more of a long-term thing, but I needed to really learn how to like develop my own parenting style and build strong, healthy relationship with my son. And, you know, also foster trust in our relationship with each other. And not that he didn't trust me, but I don't think that I was as reliable or responsible, not even close to what I am now. And I know that that probably gives him a sense of, what's the right word for that? Just a sense of normalcy, of routine, of just strength and effective communication between me and him. Now that I have like good time management, a good self-care routine, I have a support network of friends that I can lean on if I have questions about things or need help with something. But I think being aware of either sobriety or your mental health and how they play a role in your parenting is such a huge part of your self-awareness, and just maintaining stability and honesty and healthy boundaries with your children is so important. And I only have one, and I always say, like, I can't imagine what it would be like to have more than one child, because I am just figuring out who I am as a mom, and my kid is 5. So if you're still like, you know, maybe you're out there with a 15-year-old, like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm figuring it out day by day. Just, you are not alone. And I think that if you're able to find a therapist, and I understand that it's a privilege or a luxury, but if it's something that you can afford or that your insurance covers, nothing has to be wrong with you to talk to a therapist. And finding your identity in like overcoming feelings of guilt and finding a balance between caring for myself and a child and not having mom guilt when I leave for work every day, and really having somebody to help guide me in the direction of learning why it's important to prioritize myself sometimes, and not myself in a selfish way, but in the way of just making sure that I am healthy and happy and taken care of, so physically, so that I can then take care of my son. And it's made me a better mom. It's made me way more fun. It's made me more present. And I just really enjoy spending time. And I'm sure that, you know, whether I was high or drunk, I still loved spending time with him. But the years are flying by and I'm remembering them so much more without the substances. And I don't know. I just think that being able to eliminate some stigma around mental health and these things is such an important part of why I want to share these lessons that I'm learning. And so, yes, this was probably like a major brain dump, but I am grateful to you for listening and making it through this. And I'll probably stop talking now. I have a busy week ahead. I am going to do some photo shoots in Tahoe this weekend. I invited a bunch of photographers that I've never met. I think I actually have 6 or 7 coming now, which I'm so excited about, but I have some really awesome clients coming to model for us, and I'm going to take their photos for free in exchange for them modeling. And then the photographers get to get creative with me, and I'm really looking forward to that being a self-care thing for me to be able to get creative and be around other like-minded people and go to the snow with my family. So that is my plan for this weekend. I also have 2 more Pilates classes because that is another form of self-care for me. So I will be attending Pilates. I started doing intermediate Pilates, which is kicking my butt. I am sore. I have sore glutes today. Last week, my quads is what they're called. I don't even know. My quads were super sore, and I just look forward to getting my ass kicked. And Lexi, I know that you're listening to this. That's my Pilates instructor, and she's been a really big part of why I love to go to Pilates. She is the reason why I love to go to Pilates and why I'm actually working out for the first time in 5-6 years. But yeah, so that's what self-care looks like for me this week. I think that I'm looking at my calendar. I'm like, yep, that's so we got Tahoe, Pilates, and I got a lot of work this week too. So I hope that you are finding ways to take care of yourself. Sometimes it's taking a bath and kicking your kid out and not letting them come in your room, like make them go with your husband and listen to a podcast that you've been wanting to listen to, or put your AirPods in and walk around your house on noise cancellation. That's really fun. And just get some time to yourself. And I hope that you have an awesome week. And I look forward to coming back next week and coming up with something else to talk about.